As you know, because you've been hearing for quite some time now, we are in warfare. The Church Universal is in. And, you know, last week I spoke about the three battle positions of the believer. You should be standing. And if you're not standing, then you are running. You're running away. If you're not running away, then you're fallen. And the good news is, as we said last week, if you're fallen, you can rise up again. Amen?
Amen.
And so we need not fear, because God has prepared victory on every angle for his people. And I want to remind you of something this morning that you already know, and that is that God has already given you the victory. Okay, you have it. Doesn't matter how it looks like, it doesn't matter what it looks like around you. And I'm going to talk to you this morning about, well, coming from that angle, if God has given us victory, okay, and it's in every area of our lives, every area. So God has given you victory over your finances. So God has already made a way for you to increase in that domain. He's given you a victory in, as far as your relationship is concerned, healing is concerned. You need healing in your body. It's already provided. Do not look to people, well, if God's healing was provided, how come this happened to that person, this happened to that person? You can't look at things like that. If you are looking at things like that, you are not looking with the spectacles of God's word. And so therefore you're going to fall into error and into one of the traps of the enemy. You've got to look into the God's word and make sure that you have the spectacles on or you're seeing things from God's perspective. When I say the spectacles, I'm talking about God's spectacles. Okay, you're seeing things the way that God sees it, and that should be your confession. That should be what is released from your mouth. Now I'm going to try and go through these quickly today. I'm going to give you 5 points that you need to take note of. 5 different characteristics that Satan is afraid of in any believer. Okay, 5 characteristics that the devil fears. If you're walking in any of these 5, Satan will not harass you. He may come, he may try, but he will flee. Because you know what to do and you'll be doing the right thing. If he did that to Jesus, of course he's going to do that to his church. And he's been doing that to the prophets of old. And also from the church was established, we see the enemy trying to get at the church. But he was not successful in areas because people did the right thing. So, believers, the devil fears 5 characteristics. Number 1, Christians who know their rights. Christians who know their rights. Please understand that the devil does not, the devil is not scared of every Christian. Okay, please understand that. He's only fearful of those, okay, who, number 1, know and operate in their rights. I put that there, operates as well, because it's one thing to know, but it's another thing to do. Our rights are what God has made available to us. And we know this, we've been talking for the past few weeks about our salvation package. Let me just remind you that our salvation package includes healing. It includes fellowship. It includes then relationship with God and with man. It includes power. It includes authority. It includes God's word and God's promises that he's made available to us. The salvation package that we have includes hope, which points to a future. So the salvation package that we have includes a future that God has prepared for us. These are just a few things that when we talk about salvation, that's what we're talking about. And there's more. Provision. I don't think I've mentioned that. That's part of the salvation package as well that God has made available to us. Now, Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, you need to write that verse down. It says, "Behold, I give you power over all the over serpents and over scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Right there, just that one verse alone is reminding us that in our salvation package that God has given us, because we are now his children, we've been adopted into his family when we came into covenant with him and given our hearts and our lives to him. Now as a result of that, we belong to God, we belong to his family, we're adopted into his family. And God has given us power and authority, this verse says. The first word, behold, I give you a power, some versions say authority. The word is, you know this by now, we've blown this verse up before, exousia. And exousia is permission, it's license. So God was saying, I've given you permission, I've given you the permit, I've given you the license, okay, to go and do what? To trample over serpents and over scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now when we look up those words, and I'm not going to do that now, I can give it to you, but I'm not going to waste time doing that. When we look up those words and put it together within the context of that verse, God is saying, I have given you authority to trample over everything, to make a path, that word trample, patio, to make a path over everything, okay, that comes to obscure your vision. Because when you look up the word serpent and when you look up the word scorpio, the root of those words has to do with vision. So God was saying he's given us authority, the permission to do that and to trample over the dynamic working power of the enemy. So we know that Satan is powerful. We know that his power is working and it's dynamic. And we know that he's operating as best he can to bring explosive power against believers. But God is saying in this verse once again that he has given us power not just against everything that comes against our vision, but also everything that Satan will want to throw at you, church. You've got authority over it. You've got power over it. And we need to recognize that. And that's what I'm hopefully reminding you today of, some of the things that, you know, God's word tells us. Now, the enemy wants to keep you from exercising, from knowing and exercising your authority. So what he will do is, he will come and he will try his best, and he will come with a form of intimidation to try to intimidate you. He will come to try to get you to doubt who you are, to try to get you to doubt God's word. He will come to try to get you to come off of that path, off that mindset that God wants you to have of the word of God, and go on to the circumstances that are around you. And he would want to dictate to you that the circumstances that you are going through are more real than the God that you're serving. How many people know the devil is a liar? He is a liar. Hosea 4 verse 6 says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowing. Lack of information. And that is sometimes because Christians are lazy to get into the word of God. It's because sometimes they don't follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit to get up when the Holy Spirit is telling you to get up and to pray or to open the word of God, because God wants to reveal things to you. And we've got to open our eyes and have understanding and know that God has our best interest at heart and wants us to be victorious. Isaiah 5 verse 13 says, my people are in captivity because of the same thing, because of lack of knowledge. So two different prophets in two different time era saying the same thing about God's people. And we cannot afford for that to happen to us today. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, this is what it says. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So Satan goes about like a lion. Remember I told you, help me with this. There are three different attacks. I said this some time ago in the past. This is from memory. So three different type of attacks that the enemy comes with. Okay? I think the first one is the bear attack. You see it coming. Okay? With the lion attack, you hear it coming. Sometimes the lion roars in the jungle. The animals or the people can't see him, but they know he's there because they recognize the roar. Okay, so one you see, one you don't see, but you hear first. And then the third one is a serpent attack. And the serpent attack, you neither see it nor hear it, but it strikes. Three different types of attack that the enemy can use. But the Bible here says that he comes and he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Why is he doing? What's he trying to do? He's trying to intimidate God's people. That's what the roar does. When a lion roars in the jungle, the animals are intimidated. And what? The spirit of fear comes and takes them over and they begin to run. And they may even be running in the direction of the lion, because sometimes they don't know where he is. Okay? But verse 9 says this: resist him. How? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Again, that's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. So I've got to resist the enemy. Come on, say with me, resist. Yes. You've got to resist the enemy. Resist him when he's tempting you to draw you away from the house of God. Draw you away from prayer. Excuse me. Draw you away from the word of God. Draw you away from fellowship. Draw you away from obedience, doing what God has told you to do. Resist him. Resist him steadfast in the faith. And he says, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Because one of the tactics of the enemy is to get you to think that you're the only one going through what you are going through. Oh, poor you. And that is not true. Do you remember Elijah? Elijah one day had a tremendous victory, killing 850 prophets. The next day, one woman spoke a few words and he ran over 200 miles in the opposite direction, sat down and began to have a pity party. And the Lord said to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? He's out of place. He's not where God wanted him. What are you doing here, Elijah? And then Elijah began to respond to God and said to God, well, you know, I alone of all the prophets. And God said, no, he's not. No, you're not. You're not alone. Elijah, you're not alone. There are 7,000 men that God has reserved who have not bowed a knee to Baal. And so Elijah was going through stuff. And he, even though he had victory on one day, the next day he was experiencing something else. Because the spirit of fear had come into his life. He had run away from God, not stand his ground. And he was began to think, and the enemy began to tell him, oh, it's poor you, you're all by yourself. And that was not true. Listen to what Philippians chapter 1, verse 28, the NLT version. This is what it says. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved even by God himself. So you see, God knows how to look out for his people, but God also knows how to deal with those things or those people that come against you. And if those people that come against God's people don't repent, they're going to be destroyed. And we know this, God's word says it here, but we know it through other scriptures as well, and through the future, what's happening. So number one, Christians must know their rights. Number two, you know and operate your rights. Don't know it, but don't operate in it, folks. We've got to do it, okay? So number two, Christians who remain consistent regardless of the circumstance. Oh my God. One of the easiest things for the enemy to catch us believers and Christians is by just, again, intimidating us or causing something to rise up into our life, and so that we quit serving God. So that we stop doing what God has called us to do. So that we're not at the place where God has called us to be. And that is so sad when that happens, because right then and there, it's like we've given over and we've given up. Satan will stir up trouble to shift your focus. That's what he's after. He's after your focus. Come on, say, not mine in Jesus' name.
Not mine.
Say it a bit louder. Not mine in Jesus' name.
Not mine.
Yeah, not mine. Not my focus in Jesus' name. Because no matter what, and this is something I make a declaration over my life every day. No matter what, Lord, I'm not going to lose my focus. Lord, I'm going to do your will. I'm going to fulfill the purpose that you have called me to do in my life. As long as I have breath, Lord, I'm going to give you praise. As long as I have breath, Lord, I'm going to utter your word. I'm going to teach the simplicity of the gospel to people so that God will build them up and lead them where he wants to lead them. Now, Satan will stir up trouble to shift your focus. What are some of the areas? Marriage, relationships, your finances. He will stir up trouble at your workplace. He will stir up trouble with neighbors. He will stir up trouble with family members. He will stir up trouble with sickness, with business, relationships. Did I say that? And all the other areas that you could think of, you will know because you're living your life. And you see where Satan has tried to stir up trouble in your life. But you've got to know who you are. And you've got to know that you've got to recognize what's happening here. And then you've got to rise up and take authority over that in the name of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Job chapter 1 verse 22. Satan tried to do that with Job. And he had a conversation with God. Satan did. And you know the story. I'm not going to go through that now. But he tried to stir up trouble in Job's life. And he lost. Job 1:22 tells us that. He was not successful. And we know that anyway. But I put that scripture there because it's very specific and pointed and pertinent to the point I'm making. We are told in the Bible, we just read it, 1 Peter 5 verse 9, to resist him in the faith. In the faith means in God's word and according to his promises. In faith means resist him the way that God has designed and orchestrated us to resist him. Okay? Not by doing your own thing, but do it the way that God wants you to do it. When we complain, we are not steadfast. Okay? Steadfast in the faith. But when we've got to be steadfast in the faith, in the promises of God. When we complain, when we grumble, when we moan, when we murmur, we are not steadfast. We are opening up a negative avenue and we are creating around us a negative environment, and Satan dwells and thrives in that kind of environment. So be careful what comes out of your mouth. Do not complain, mumble, moan, murmur, or complain, or grumble. Okay? 1 Corinthians 10 verse 10 says this, nor complain as some of them complained and was destroyed by the destroyer. The destroyer was a destroying angel that God sent out. And that angel is a serious angel. That angel does not have any mercy. That angel does not listen to any kind of repentance whatsoever. That angel was created for one function. And we see him operating in the Old Testament. One purpose and one purpose alone. And that is to destroy, to carry out God's purpose in the area of destruction. And we see him working time and time again in the Old Testament. And so the Bible warns us here, Paul warned the Corinthians not to grumble, not to complain. Because if you do, you will be destroyed. Okay? Just like the destroyer destroyed those in the Old Testament. And if you look up Exodus 16 and verse 2 and Numbers 14, 27 and Numbers and 2 Samuel 24 verse 16, you will see some examples there. Instead of grumbling, instead of mourning, instead of complaining, worship God. Give thanks to God. Continue to serve God. And then you'll see the benefits of all of the blessings of God coming about in your life. So in other words, folks, we've got to make sure that our focus is a shift. Our purpose is a shift. And that's why even this morning, God bless you, John. The anointing was on you this morning. And I know that. It was on you this morning as you led worship. Because I know that you weren't well. But God used you. And I couldn't tell that you had a problem with your throat when you were up here. You're just blessing God. You're just praising God. You know what she was doing? She was doing the third point I'm going to mention. All right? So let me, before I go into point number three, let me repeat number two. Christians who remain consistent regardless of circumstances. And I just want to encourage you to remain consistent in what you are doing and what God's called you to do. Don't quit on God. Okay, remain consistent. And I cannot overemphasize that. When you remain consistent, the enemy sees that. And you know what you are doing by remaining consistent? Giving him now opportunity. Satan, you better run because I'm not shifting from this. I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to bless God. I'm going to be where God wants me. I'm going to be in the house of God. So devil, you better move from me. And you resist him by praising God and by remaining focused. Okay? And then he will flee from you. He will flee. Number three. This is what Joan was doing. She was giving voice to her declarations. This is what we got to the point. Number three. Satan fears believers who give voice to their declarations. I've been speaking about this for some time. And I've been echoing this some time. And this is point number three. You know, when the believer who continually declares what God declares, That's who the believer is. That's who Satan is scared of. And so we've got to give voice to our declarations. Lord, I want you to come and I want you to operate in my life, in my household. I want your God, your peace to be in my home. Well, give voice to it. Declare it out loud. Gives a purpose why God has given us instructions in his word to do certain things. And we've got to do that. Doesn't matter how it looks, it may be chaotic, it may be all sorts of different things going on in whatever environment you are in. But I'm saying give voice to it and then just say what God says. Say what he wants you to say. Say what his word says. Romans 4 verse 17 talks about God who calls forth those things that be not as though they already exist. And we see that in the beginning. That's how God created this universe that we're living in. He said and then he spoke it. He saw it, I believe, in the spirit, and then he spoke it, and then it came into being. So he saw it in his mind's eye, spoke it with words, and then it came into being. It manifested itself. Whatever you want to be manifest in your life, folks, you've got to see it. Didn't I tell you about William Blake, a 16th century English philosopher? I believe he was a Christian. He said, a man cannot see until he first perceives what God has done for him in the spirit. You want to see yourself prospering? See yourself prospering. You want to see yourself financially blessed? See it in the realm of the spirit. And then give voice to it. Okay? Give voice to it. You have legal rights from God's word to do that. So find the promises. Give voice to it in the midst of chaos and darkness. Give voice to it. And in Jesus' name, that light will break through in your life. In Jesus' name. All right. So John 6 verse 63 says this, the words that we speak, they are spirit and they are life. So your words matter. When you speak negative words, you are speaking words that are spirit and it will manifest or produce after itself. You create that atmosphere of negativity and then you have created that environment in which you and maybe others are now walking in. But God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to speak the right words. He wants us to say the right thing. In the midst of uncertainty, we get up and we declare the end result. Call forth those things that be not as though they already exist. That unsafe family member that you have, call them forth in the name of Jesus. Declare that they're saved in the name of the Lord. That healing, that sickness that seemed to won't go away. Get up and declare in the name of the Lord that in the name of Jesus Christ, you are healed in the name of the Lord. Call it forth. Call forth the things that you need in your life and be consistent upon it. And as a matter of fact, what you can do, you can go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, you said. And that's your legal right in the courts of God. Because God, that's how God operates, you see. So John 6:63, but Proverbs 18:21, you know this. You know, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And those who love it, you're going to eat of the fruit of thereof. Hebrews 10:23, it says this. Hold fast the confession of our hope and without wavering. Because he who promised is faithful. What is he saying? What's the word of God saying? The word of God is saying, hold on to the confession. Your confession is your profession. Another verse says profession. But it's a Greek word, homologia, which means to say the same thing. So you call forth, you hold fast, you say the same thing that God said, and you stay on that until the manifestation occurs. Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
And that's what you do. You hold on to the promises of God and you release it out of your mouth. You believe it and you release it in Jesus' name. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. It says this. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And it goes on to say, and they did not love their lives to death. Now, write this down if you're taking notes. The word testimony is the Greek word martyria. No, martyria, sorry. M-A-R-T-U-R-I-A. Martyria. That's the word testimony. And it means witness. It means evidence given. It means record born. Record born. And I love that, you know. So the Bible here is saying that the word of their testimony, you know what that is? It's the word of their record that was born. In other words, then, when they spoke, it wasn't just by the blood of Jesus Christ they overcame, but they overcame by what they said. And what they said, what they spoke, it was a record in heaven that was born. It was a record that was made by God because these people spoke it. It's a record that came into existence because they declared what God had already said. They stood on His word. They did not falter. They did not fall. They did not fail. They continued to declare it. What they said became a record. And they said what God said, and that was the evidence that was brought forth in God's presence. I hope you're understanding this. Write down Isaiah 55:11. And when you go and read it and look at it, it says, you know, God was speaking, and I've mentioned it so many times, and He was speaking about His people by faith. And He said this in Isaiah 55:11, that my word will not return to me void. But He went on to say, but it shall accomplish the thing in which it was sent forth to do. So God has sent His word, and His word has built-in faith inside of it. And God had faith in you and I that we would take this word that has God's faith in it, place it into our hearts, release it out of our mouth, and bring it back to Him in the courts of heaven. He had faith that you and I would do that. And when we do that, a record was born in heaven. A record is born in heaven. And God now uses that record and uses that testimony to come against Satan and say, no, devil, you cannot have them because this is what they said. This is what they declared. And I have the record of it. You do know that Satan has legal rights to go to heaven. You know that, don't you? Yeah, we know that because I've taught on this before. He has the right to go to heaven. He does that all the time. He does that. He's called the accuser of the brethren for a reason. And when he goes before, we see that time and time again. I think I mentioned this recently. We see that time and time again where Satan presents himself with Jesus Christ. We see him accusing God's people. We see him coming time and time again into the presence of God with an accusation against God's people. And Satan would have, he has that right, by the way. That's a power that he has that has been given to him, because all power that exists, not just spiritual power, earthly power, and even the power that Satan has, it comes from God. And the Bible tells you that. So he has that right to go into the presence of God with whatever accusation he's bringing. But if those accusations are false, then he has no standing. And so my prayer today, folks, is that, you know, whatever accusations that he comes against you, because you are doing the right thing, guess what? He has no standing at all before God. Do you understand, church? Do you understand? Maybe you need to study that a little bit more, because it's so deep and it's so profound. Okay, we see these things happening, but we need to know why they're happening and what are the legal basis is for that to happen. Because nothing, you know, with the temptation of Jesus, remember when the temptation of Jesus, when he offered Jesus the whole kingdom, do you know that he had a legal right to do that? Do you understand that, church? You understand that? But he couldn't offer something that he didn't have the legal right to. And that legal right that he had, because the kingdoms of the world, okay, belong to Satan, actually. And it was given to him way back there from the Garden of Eden. It wasn't like that in the beginning. That's not the way God intended it, but that's the way it is. And so we have to understand that, you know, when he comes and he does things, he's not just using words. He actually had that. And he offered it to Jesus at the temptation. But what did Jesus do? Jesus used the word of God to overcome him. And that's what we got to do. We got to use the word of God to overcome him every single time. You see, our destiny is already written by God himself. We've got a future that God has prepared. And what the enemy wants to do is to take you off that path, place you on another path, can't take you off this thought, and give you another thought. That's why he went to suggestions. He can only suggest certain things. And when he does that, what is he trying to do? He's trying to get you to shift your focus. Don't look at that. Don't look at God's word. Look at this. Don't look at that. Look at this. Don't look at the promises of God. Look at the enormity of the bills that's coming in. Don't look at the promises of God, but look at the sickness. And talk about the sickness. Talk about the bills. Talk about everything that's going wrong. What if God, in the very beginning, when he was creating this world, this heaven and earth, what if he had looked where there was darkness, and what if God had said, "Oh my gosh, darkness. Whoa, look how dark it is. There's only darkness that I see." What if God had just said that? What would you think would have happened? Darkness would have remained. Am I right? It would have remained, but he didn't. He looked in the midst of darkness, and God said what? "Let there be light." You know, in the Hebrew, that's very profound, it's very direct and very powerful. It's light be. Light be. And that's how it is in the Hebrew. And that's how we've got to be. We've got to be very direct, and we've got to call forth those things that be not as though they already exist. And we've got to say, "Light be." We've got to say, "Healing be in Jesus' name. Finances come in the name of Jesus. Relationships heal in Jesus' name." I don't know if you're getting this, but I hope and pray that you are, because it's very serious and it's very profound. Now, I must move on. Isaiah 55:11, I gave that to you. Now, number four. Let me give you number four. So, number one was what? We've got to know our rights. Number two, give voice to our declarations. Number three, number two was we've got to remain consistent. That's right, we've got to remain consistent. All right, regardless of circumstances. Number three, we've got to give voice to our declarations. You got to use your mouth. You got to use your voice. You can't mumble. You can't be quiet. You cannot be internal. You've got to give voice to whatever it is that you are believing for. So that's why you've got to speak, and that's why we encourage you to worship and to lift up your hands and to bless the Lord and to pray out loud and to declare things and to prophesy and to confess things. You've got to use your voice. And when you do that, and when we do that corporately, the atmosphere changes. Have you noticed that? It changes. Even in worship, as Joan was leading us beautifully, we noticed the atmosphere change. And I felt lighter. But we've got to break certain things first. And that's why pre-prayer is important. We've got to break. We walk into this place and we don't know what exists. We don't know what goes on here. We don't know what spirit is here. But we know that we weren't here. And so whatever is here, because we are here now, it has to go. I was walking this morning and just walking up and I said, "Lord, I declare that this is holy ground. This is holy ground, Lord God. You said, Lord, where two or three are gathered, you are here in the midst. And Lord, more than two is here. So Lord, you are here. And so this is holy ground. If you're here, this is holy ground, Lord." All right, number four. Let me give you. Number four. The fourth thing that Satan fears, okay, is Christians who confront him. Christians who confront him. Do we know that we have Christians who don't confront him at all? There are Christians that don't even like to talk about the devil. "Don't talk about the devil. Just talk about Jesus. Just talk about..." No. You open your Bible and read. Okay? And you'll see the opposite is the directive from God. Christians who confront the devil. Christians who live defensively never rise above average. If you're always just living defensively, you never rise against... Where were you in the prayer meeting? And you're just living defensive. Where were you with the Word of God? Didn't you read the Word of God? Well, you know, when last have you prayed? "Well, I haven't prayed for some time." And then you're giving all the excuses why you can't. No, you're living your life defensively. We've got to, at times in our lives as believers, we've got to take the offensive. And we've got to be strong and to do that. Christians who live their lives, I repeat, defensively, never rise above average. And God hates average. God has not called any of his people to be average at all. So that means now we can't run away. We spoke about that last week, in the three different stances of the believer. But we can't run away. We've got to confront. We confront through prayer. And we see, I taught this on developing a strong prayer life on the 4th of November, 4th of this month, the first Sunday in this month. I taught on that. Go back to that teaching. It's on the website. Listen to it. Okay, how to develop a strong prayer life. I'm going to say something more about prayer in a moment. Okay, but we don't run away, we confront. We confront through prayer, we confront through resisting Satan. James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You want the devil to run from you? Well, you've got to do what? You've got to submit yourself to God, then you've got to resist the devil, and then he will flee. You cannot resist the devil without first submitting yourself to God. This is in order. So submission to God, what do we mean by that? Submission to his word, submission to his authority, submission to what God says about the matter, submission to doing it his way. When we submit to God, then now we resist the devil and he will flee from you. And that's what we see in Matthew chapter 4 with Jesus and the temptation. Number 5. And this is the last point. Number 5. Satan is fearful of prayer warriors. Prayer warriors. Not people who just pray. There's a difference between praying and or saying your prayers and praying. There's a big difference, depending on how you look at the context of the whole thing. But prayer warriors, prayer warriors are people who pray and pray consistently. They know how to pray. They know the different types of prayer. And they know how to exercise these things. They know how to give voice to the declarations of their heart because of what they see in the spirit realm to come against the attacks of the enemy. And if never a time we need to stand in prayer and pray, folks, it's a time like now. Coming to church on a Sunday, good, but not good enough. Because the devil just doesn't work on Sundays. Are you with me?
Yeah.
24/7, 7 days a week. And so that's why the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, I think it is. Check that for me, please. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. In other words, we should pray continuously. You should always be in a mode of prayer. And when you are praying consistently, you develop that lifestyle and attitude now of becoming a prayer warrior. A prayer warrior is someone who deliberately takes the attack to the enemy through prayer. Consistently doing it, not just praying here, there, and there, but consistently doing that, recognizing who they are, what they are facing, and recognizing on using the authority that they've got to bring that power and that source that they have got within them to bring down the camp of the enemy, to bring down the determinations of the enemy, the intentions of the enemy. Are you with me, church? And so we've got to develop a prayer warrior style. And a prayer warrior, there's something different about a warrior. A warrior not only dresses right, and I'm talking about spiritually, now spiritual dress, but in the natural, when you look at, you could sometimes, when you look at the African warriors, they have their paint on their face, they have the sword in their hand or the spear in their hand, they may have shields, but they also dance. And they jump and they make sounds, and they do not do that apologetically. They do it deliberately. I'm saying to you today that they have a different stance from an ordinary African person, if you like. All right? They are warriors, but warriors are also skilled in fighting. So this comes over time. You've got to know how to fight, and you learn how to fight through your daily activities. And then when you learn how to fight and you fight right according to God's word, folks, you develop yourself and you become stronger, and you become stronger and stronger until nothing can shift you. Now you've become a prayer warrior. A prayer warrior is not formed overnight. It's not formed just because you think it. It's formed because you practice it, and you practice it over time. And what I'm saying to us here with this point is that we've got to be prayer warriors. And so we're praying, yes, but now we've got, there are times when we have to take up that level of prayer, and we've got to take that force and attack. When you see certain things happening, you've got to attack that force. You can't sit complacently. You can't treat it just as ordinary and just whisper a little word of prayer here and amen and then that's it. No, you've got to take the attack to the enemy. You've got to take it time and time and time again, you get up and you're resisting everything and you are taking that attack to the enemy in Jesus' name. When you see sickness in your home, in your body, you don't stand there and you just don't pray a little prayer. You attack it. You take the attack. You take the word of God and you consistently stay on it. Are you with me, church? You do not come off of that at all until the Holy Spirit tells you, until you see the manifestation of that thing come to light. But when we're not doing that, the thing remains. When we're not doing that, then we're not taking up the stance that God has given us, and we're not fighting right, and we've got to fight right. We've got to fight right if we want to see what God has brought or is bringing into our lives. Let me give some scriptures. Ephesians 6 verse 18. This is what it says. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. There are certain key words there that are, you know, we should take note of. The Bible says praying always. And it also says with all prayer. I mentioned just a while ago, there are different types and kinds of prayer for different circumstances. And we've got to experience all of them and know how to execute these prayers at the time when they are needed. But we also see the word supplication. We see the word being watchful, and also perseverance. The ability to stick to the thing. The ability to stay. The ability to remain the same, irrespective of what is coming at you. You've got to learn to persevere. In other words, Paul said it, didn't he? He said, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Don't think everything is going to be easy. Things are going to be hard, and they will come up at you. But you've got to, there's some things, you've just got to endure it. And you've got to say, no, 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 it's coming against me, but I'm not going to be comfortable being out of what God wants me to do, or being somewhere where God doesn't want me to be, or not doing the things that God wants me to do. I'm not going to be comfortable with that. The devil may come at me here and come at me there. And yes, wisdom dictates that there are times when you step aside. Wisdom dictates that there are times when you need to take time out for physical recuperation or whatever else. But listen, it's only a short time, church. Are you hearing me? Because we are in warfare. And if your eyes aren't open to that fact, you'll become complacent in the spirit and comfortable doing nothing. When God has called you to do great things, there's so much potential that's locked up inside of us. And we've got to see that and not be cramped by whatever the enemy wants to throw at us. That word prayer in that verse, Ephesians 6:18, you notice it's a word prosuche. And it means to draw near to God to make an exchange. And that's what you're doing in prayer. You're drawing near to God to make an exchange. Can I remind you, prayer is not a way of having our will be done, but prayer is a way of having God's will be done. Yeah. That's what prayer is. Prayer. When you come to God in prayer, what you are doing, if you're coming to God in prayer and you are not bringing anything that this word of God tells us, that's your legal right. If you're not bringing anything pertaining to that word, then you're coming illegally. You have no grounds to come to God. But if your grounds, and you can find, this is why it's important we know the word of God. When you find the problem, you got the problem, you find the promise, and you bring that promise to God, and you bring it to the courts of heaven and say, Lord, your word says. And then God says, yeah, that's right, that's what I said. And so now he does what you are requesting, because you have brought the legal evidence before him pertaining to what he said. Now, Ephesians 6 verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, the word withstand, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you the Greek, I'm going to give you the English. For both stand and also withstand. All right? So, the word withstand is the word antithistemi. A-N-T-H-I-S-T-E-M-I. Antithistemi. And it means to oppose, to stand against. It means also to resist. All right? That's the word which stand. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to antithistemi, that you may be able to oppose, you may be able to stand, that you may be able to resist. So you can't resist unless you have the whole armor of God. Then it goes on to say, and in the evil day, having done all, to stand. And the word stand is the word histemi. Histemi. H-I-S-T-E-M-I. Histemi. And it means to stand immovable, to stand firm, to stand ready. Alright? So you're going to put on the whole armor so that you can resist what's coming at you. Why? Because at the end of everything, you are going to stand. Stand what? Stand ready, stand firm, stand immovable, stand ready to do God's will, ready to fulfill that purpose. So the enemy will come at you to throw everything at you, but you're wearing the armor, and so you're able to resist him, and after resisting him, you're able to stand and do everything that God wants you to do. And that's the correct believer. That's the only correct believer, stance for the believer in God. And we spoke about that last week. Having done everything to stand. Not running away and not falling. So, we've got to, in other words, exercise our authority. And we have to, therefore, and if you've not seen this yet, you must see it now when I say, you've got to maintain a strong prayer life. A strong prayer life. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I've got it and I didn't realize I had it. I quoted it earlier. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Develop a strong prayer life. It's not about being perfect. It's not about that. But it is about being persistent. Determined. To do what God wants you to do. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, and I'm finishing with this. Then we're going to pray. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You are of God, little children. I have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than them. Is greater than, sorry, than he who is in the world. You are of God, little children. And I have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Folks, you've got somebody with you and in you who is greater than he who is in the world. You know, so we talk about the devil and we have to. We need to do that. The Bible teaches us to do. We talk about the devil and all that the devil does. But guess what? You've got someone that's greater than you inside of you. You've got something that is greater inside of you as well. And that's the word of God. And that's why the Bible says, thy word have I hidden in my heart. Why do you hide it? Because Mark 4 tells us that, and Matthew 4 as well, tells us that the enemy comes what? Immediately to steal away what? The word. So you've got to hide that word so that it's there. And when the situation arises now, the Holy Spirit who is in you will bring up that word and bring it to your remembrance so that you will know what to do. He's not going to do it for you. But so that you will know what to do. So the best thing that we can do is to acknowledge God in everything that we're saying, in everything that we're doing. Acknowledge him and embrace his word. You cannot swing what you can't hold. I think I've said this to you before. Right? And you cannot confess what you do not know. So you've got to get a grip of God's word. Hold it. And in the midst of your battle, you've got to know how to use that word. And use it in faith and determine that, hey, I'm not going to be silent. I'm not going to be powerless. But I am going to have the victory that God has established for me. It's mine in Jesus' name. So I acknowledge you, Lord, in my life, in this situation. The situation may be bigger than me, but Lord, I've got a God who's bigger than the situation. So I may be smaller, I may be out of my, but Lord God, nothing is too small, nothing is too big for you. So everything, Lord God, is under you, in you, Lord God, and Father, I am in your hands. And so that alone should give us the confidence that we need now to rise up and say, yeah. And that's what John was saying here, 1 John 4:4, that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Yes, Satan's in the world, but greater is the God that's in me. And that's why God has now given me, if God is greater than what's in the world and God is in me, then I can overcome. If God can overcome, I can overcome. And of course God has overcome. So he has made us victors. He's made us conquerors. He's made us more than conquerors. So we have every reason to rejoice. But folks, you've got to understand these things, and you've got to put voice to everything. You want the devil to flee from you? Put voice to it. Jesus didn't whisper when the devil came and tempted him. He put voice to it. And he rebuked him. You rebuked him with the word of God. And the Bible says that he fled. And it's the same principle today. You want God, the enemy, to resist you? You want the enemy to be scared of you? You want the enemy to be frightful of you? He's going to try to get you out of these 5 points. He's going to try to get you away from these things. You're going to recognize it and you're going to say, no, I'm not going to allow that to happen in my life. I'm going to be who God wants me to be. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to accomplish what God wants me to accomplish. I will fulfill my purpose, whatever that may be, in this world, in Jesus' name. Stand up on your feet. Come on, let's stand up. Let's stand up. First of all, let's acknowledge him. Let's lift our hands and just give him a praise. Just praise him for a few moments. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you, Lord. Come on, give voice to it now. Give voice. Let the devil know you're here, man. Give voice. Father, we bless you, Lord. We magnify you. We give you praise. Hallelujah. We acknowledge you as Lord of our lives. We acknowledge you today, Lord. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Be glorified in our lives, Lord. Hallelujah.